Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piattelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt, alongside me, Jack Piattelli, and it's a special episode. We got our producer, Steve Safford, on the mic.
Yeah, I'm here. It's the first one I've done. I've produced 125 podcasts, and it's the first time I've been a guest.
That's great. Let me kick it off. How much of a pain in the ass are we?
You guys are a lot of fun to work with, I have to say. I mean, the pain in the ass part is part of what makes the show so fun. You guys have a great relationship with each other. You bust on each other. It reminds me of part of the spirit of sports, which is, you know, that you have that you have both a rivalry and a friendship together, and it's a joy to watch as a producer. And this isn't to go against any of our other shows, but I just like two host shows better.
Yeah.
And I think you guys do a great job with that.
It's fun. I mean, you'd never know that. We didn't really know each other that well, but we've known each other for like 10 years, 12 years, something like that.
Yeah, at least that. But we didn't really get to know each other. And, you know, I'm really surprised that Kyle is the nice, kind-hearted gentleman that I didn't think he was.
Yeah, most people have that perception until they get to know me. But this is my favorite thing, right? This is the thing I say to everybody. If you hate me and you haven't met me, it's because you haven't met me. Like, no one that has met me actually dislikes me. That's my, like, thing. Because people judge you on your writing, your Twitter persona, sure, your social media now, and it's not who the person is. You know what I mean? Like, and listen, also people that I... That's not entirely true. People that have met me now. When I was coaching, I was legit in college, like my previous career. I was a monster. Like,
you talk a lot about that, and I'm interested in hearing that because it's hard for me to picture you as a monster because you're such a cool guy here in office. So in the office. So what were you doing? Was it because you were worried you would come across bad? Is it because you just had legitimate anger issues? What were you doing?
Was it because you lost so many games at Clark?
Right.
It's because I lost so many games as a coach, too. I think, you know, it's an interesting question. I was very unhappy. I had chosen lacrosse as my career. It wasn't going anywhere near what I thought it would be. It was very unfulfilling, personally. And this is all stuff I found out later. I went to, like, therapy. Sure. You know, like, hey. I unpacked a lot of stuff.
I'm with you.
I think one of the things is, for me, it was always easier to be angry. And that's, you know, it's how I used to play. It's how I used to, like, live. Because when you're angry and you have an angry face, do you know what people do? They leave you alone. Yeah. I would stalk campus. Like, I would not walk around like, hey, what's up? I'd be like, stone face, walking to practice, walking back to my office. And really, the kids only saw a little bit of my joking side that actually is my real personality, because I thought I had to be that way, right? Because that's all I knew as a player. All my coaches were like that. All my coaches were hard asses. All my coaches were, you know, for lack of a better term, mean, and I got their respect by being, because I wasn't the best player on any of the teams I've been on. I got respect by being a hard worker. I got respect by doing the stuff other people wouldn't do. I got respect by winning sprints. You know what I mean? Like, that was me. I was the try hard kid on every team that you've ever been on. The kid that maybe he didn't play a lot, or maybe he did play a lot, and the reason he played is because he ran his ass off. That was me.
Did you reach a point? Did someone pull you aside? Was there a sea change at some point for
no
you?
No one ever did that. And I actually wish someone did, because I would have lived a much happier 30s and 20s of my life than I did. And in some ways, I look back, I'm like, I'm pretty resentful about how it went down. But I also have to recognize that, like, those are my choices. And I did that myself. But I think that the change came when I went to Inside Lacrosse in 2014, after coaching for 12 years and, you know, struggling to make rent, struggling to eat, struggling to get along with people. And then I go to IL and I think everything's going to be fine, right? It's a totally new life. And it's still a struggle. Everything's a struggle. And I think that surprised me a lot. I thought I had it made, man. I was like, this is great. I got it made. I'm gonna write about lacrosse. I already got this audience. I can't wait. And it was hard. And I didn't expect it to be hard, which is very naive of me, for sure. I think what people don't realize about writing, doing podcasts, entertaining, or analyzing anything, the only way you get better at it is by doing it a lot.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. And I had this conversation with a coach where he was like, I'm trying to be a better writer and communicator. How do I do that? And I said, you have to do it every day. And he's like, what? And I was like, the only reason I can do what I can do as fast as I can do it and as well as I can do it is because I did it every day for like 20 years.
Honestly, getting to know you, Kyle, I learned a lot about behind the scenes writing and, you know, what people don't understand. They see the finished product. But what they don't understand is what goes on behind the scenes. And you're at camps, you're at tournaments. Your phone is 24/7.
Yep.
You know, it never stops beeping or ringing in your email. But what you write is what you know, because you're doing the work that needs to be done to be successful.
Right. And if I wasn't a coach, I wouldn't have that credibility to, you know, when I talk to a college coach, when we do, you know, interviews here, Jack already, he's got built-in credibility. He was a pro. He runs a team. He's been in the industry way, like, longer than I have.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. He's got built-in stuff, and I am still, in the back of my head, I am still a punk kid from a small town in New Hampshire. And every person I meet, I have to prove to them that I am not that. And I don't, though. But in my head, I'm like, I'm not this. I never feel like I deserve anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things that I think is people don't, you know, realize when I talk or have like a strong opinion. It's like, I have the opinion because I believe it. I don't do it to like be controversial. I think I probably used to, but not anymore, especially covering all the stuff that we cover here at New England Lacrosse Journal. I think it's more, I gotta know what I'm talking about. And that means I gotta watch a lot of games. I gotta talk to a lot of coaches. I got to watch tape. I got to break down tape. I've watched games with people and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm breaking the tape. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, it's the second time I watched it. You know, you have to do things to separate yourself. And I mean, you know that. I mean, you had two careers. You know what that flip is, right? Like, you're a sales rep for Warrior forever. And then you flip to be a very successful club coach, which is like not easy. I've always, like, how did that go down? I think I remember seeing you and your two sons at a Inside Lacrosse event 2014 in the fall at Brown. And they were young kids. And now they're like, it blew my mind to see them as like adults, by the way. I remember you telling me about that briefly. And I was like, how are you going to do that? And like something else pulled us away from each other. But what was that like? Like, how did that happen? I've never asked you that.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I was with Warrior and Brian for 24 years, had a great career, great experience, met many wonderful people throughout my career, built great relationships. And I got a phone call one day from somebody who worked at Warrior, somebody that I didn't know. And basically, I was on the road. I was actually had my daughter in the car, and they said, we don't need your services anymore. And this was after 24 years of service. So it was a shock to me.
Yeah.
Very disappointed. Things, their business, as you know, the industry really changed 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I actually laid in bed for a day when I was let go. And I was laying there and I'm like,
they let everyone go though.
Yeah. They let everyone go. Yeah. Over like a 2-year period. And I was just laying in bed. And I'm like, you know, maybe I get out of this, you know, this lacrosse thing. It's been a great ride. And, you know, all my kids have had a great experience. We've done so many things together in the lacrosse world, games and championships. And, you know, my boys used to if I was traveling, I get some samples in at the house, and when I got home, all my samples were all over the house because they had opened up the boxes and they got the shafts and the gloves and they're all over. I got to find them and back them up so I can use them the next couple of days. So, but I had started a small little club program when I was working for Warrior. And so I was doing both at the same time. So I was fortunate that I had that in my back pocket. And so I woke up the next day and I said, I'm just going to do this full time. And I decided to do it full time, took the risk, and here I am. But like anything in life, you know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of time, and it's 24/7. You know, and the expectations are you get an email, you got to respond. You get a text, you got to respond. You get a phone call, you got to respond. Like the expectations of parents and players is they want an answer yesterday. But I've been very fortunate, and it's going very well. And you know, I just learned at an early age, you just got to pull up your sleeves and go out and work for every day. And you know, the best thing that happened to me when I was in eighth grade, I had a guy. A player at the Kent school, I went and visited Kent school, boarding school, handed me a lacrosse stick. I never knew anything about lacrosse, nothing. Never heard of it. Handed me a lacrosse stick. He said, you might like to try this. So I started playing, and then I was a hockey player, football player, and baseball, and fell in love with the game and had a lot of success in high school. And I was just having fun. And one of my insecurities was I got started getting recruited North Carolina, Hobart, Holy Cross. I got offers. I went to Springfield College because my dad died when I was a junior. I had no money. I only had to pay $1,500 to go to Springfield College. But my point was, and I emphasize this to a lot of kids, I was having so much fun playing lacrosse, I did not know I was any good at it. Mm-hmm. I knew I was pretty good at it. But then when all these coaches started contacting me, I didn't have any guidance. I didn't know, you know, and UNC, who knew much about UNC back then in the late 70s, right? Or any of the schools. So I went to Springfield, had a good run. But I'm still, to your point, I'm still one of the youngest of six kids, grew up in Boston with not a lot. And I still look at myself as just a wise guy from Brookline, the city.
Wait, a wise guy?
No,
or a wise guy?
He means a wise guy.
A wise guy. All right, just want to make, you know, having an identical twin brother.
You do pause a lot between words sometimes. Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not that wise. I'm the other wise. And, you know, I don't think of myself as being any different than anyone else or anything special, or I'm just very blessed that player, and I can still remember his name, Kenny Pucerne, handed me a lacrosse stick in 1978, and here I am today, just the same old Jack that I was when I was, you know, 13 years old. I'm not getting as much trouble now.
It's debatable.
But
I was going to say,
that's a little bit
about
my background.
You haven't seen my notes. You know what I really like about doing this show, because I produce four shows here. And I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, is I'm not a lacrosse guy.
We know.
I know you know. I'm not sure the audience would care to know that a show is being produced by a guy who hasn't picked up a lacrosse stick, who hasn't played lacrosse. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am, after having done this for a year, I feel like I'm the smartest guy who has never played lacrosse, who knows about lacrosse, that I've really learned a lot from. And I want to, you know, go out. We went out and we did that show last week that we dropped that was from the Piatelli scouting combine that you had. And I had a blast out there. I mean, just seeing these kids playing this sport that is indigenous to the country. You know, and I learned from you, Kyle, all about the indigenous nature of the sport and how far it goes back with the First Nation. And so what I've really enjoyed is I feel like I'm part of the audience every time I put this together. And anytime I come to a point when I'm editing and I'm like, I don't understand that, therefore maybe the audience needs a little more. I consider myself kind of the target audience You know, there'll be people obviously who know more than I do, but as long as I understand it, I'm sure everybody else will. That's what I really like about doing this show.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. I can't tell you how many people come up to me and are just like, I love your podcast. Or like, best example of this actually is, my little brother's best friend went to a Billerica St. John's Prep game, at the end of the spring, right before playoffs. And, he's sitting there and some guy was saying my name and talking about a podcast I had. He's like, how do you know him? Because he doesn't know that I do any. A lot of people don't know I do any of this stuff. And he's like, oh, he has this podcast. Do you know him? He's like, I actually coached him when he was in high school. And he was my assistant at Daniel Webster for 1 year. And he was like, yeah, I know him really well. He's like, you know him? And I'm like, what? He's telling me the story. He's like, I didn't know you were like famous. I'm like, I'm not famous, dude. That's not what's happening.
Journalism just, famous.
And I'll just, make sure he doesn't ever think he's famous.
Yeah. No. I appreciate that. Listen, I'll never ever think that I'm, I call it Z-list famous. Because only people that are lacrosse super nerds care. Right, I mean, I'm sure you've had that, right? What's your best story?
I've got an example. This summer, I was running a camp out in Western Mass, and this dad comes up to me. He said, "Hi, I'm so and so, and oh, it's so nice to meet you. I got to tell my son didn't know you were going to be here today. I got to go tell my son you're going to be here." He said, "You're a legend, and I listen to your podcast all the time, and we love it. And I got to get a picture with me, you, and my son." I'm like, wow, where did this come from?
That's what I get for calling you a legend on every podcast.
But where did this come from?
You do set him up for that, the man, the myth, the legend. You do set him up.
I do. Yeah. People don't know it's ironic.
We can put that in the open. The following is an ironic introduction.
No, I'm so appreciative of people that listen to it, too, because we get good suggestions. We get bad suggestions, too. But we get a lot of good suggestions for guests. And between Jack and I, our, like, Rolodex or our contact list is wild. Like, it really is. Like, because we've worked in the industry from two different sides, and now we're in the same side, and it's very, like, overwhelming to pick guests. Right.
You bring in a very eclectic list of guests. It isn't just coaches. It isn't just recruiters. I mean, you hit all of the points of the sport. And again, that's why I've learned so much from it. Let me ask you, you know, it's said that, you know, in journalism, you're doing a good job if half of your mail is hate mail and half of it is complimentary. Are you at 50-50 or do the haters come out more now?
No.
Because it's social or...
I'll be honest. I get way less than I used to. When I was in Inside the Cross, and that's probably because it's a national platform, but it's... I was enemy number one for a couple years. I think because I covered pro, and I covered pro lacrosse like you're supposed to. I covered it without bias, and I covered it tough. Like, if you had a bad game, I'll let you know. And that was actually new to lacrosse people because criticism in lacrosse, this is what people don't understand, criticism in lacrosse is new to the athletes. Because a lot of the top-tier athletes at all these schools, they're the best of the best. And then they go to the school, and they have a bad game. And that's why they all have media training now. They didn't used to. The fragility of that was very palpable 15 years ago. It's much better now. Like, people are, and you can call it soft or whatever you want to call it, but it's very different now than it used to be, where journalists were hated. The problem is now there's a lot of journalists that pander. And especially, I mean, you know, in certain regions, it's more than others, but lacrosse is a very weird sport. It's not like other sports because it is insular, but it's also not. There's not a lot of voices, man. And it's an honor to be one. I don't think I'm the one at all, but I'm a voice. And I hope that what I've done is transformed from the hated guy into the guy that is still honest, but less caustic. That's my goal. Less vicious. Do you know what I mean? Because I was, listen, I was throwing daggers before anyone knew what a dagger was. Like, it was bad. I'm not super happy with a lot of the stuff I did now because I'm older. But at the time, it was like, I felt like that's what I had to do to get out there. That's what I had to do because I felt it so strongly. And but I still feel that.
Your Twitter feed still sometimes has some attitude to it.
Yeah, man.
I'll tune into your Twitter feed, and apropos of nothing, I will read, "Throw the ball in, you cowards."
Yeah. F around and find out, you know? That's still kind of my attitude when I watch games. I think, you know, and also I went back to coaching last year, and we don't talk about it too much on the podcast. I think I talked about it a lot last year, less this year. And it really helped me a lot. It helped me appreciate everything, like the whole sport. It helped me appreciate, like I talk about, I didn't realize I missed talking about my players like they're my kids. I don't have kids, so I don't know what that's like, so I know that's different. And you bring that up a lot. How have you become a better coach being a father? I think you've asked that a couple times to our guests, and it's a great question. I could never answer that, really, but in terms of, like, my emotions when I coach now, they're much more even than me being mad. I don't get mad anymore. And people that watch me coach as a college coach don't believe that. Like, sure. I literally had a ref be like, "What are you doing here?"
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
How did being a father, Jack, make you a different, better, otherwise?
I think, well, the love that you have for your child, no one can appreciate until you have your own child, number one.
Yep.
Number two, I was always looking at the teams as a former player, coaching, becoming a father. If I said something to a player, yelled at him, maybe upset him in any way, I always started questioning myself, would I treat my own son the same way? And many times I would say no, and I wouldn't want my own son to be treated that way. And that's the perspective that I gained from having a child, because you become an unselfish, your life changes. Your life is your kid. It's not about you anymore. So now it becomes about the team and not you as a coach, because what's more important than your son, right? So now it's what's more important, you or the team?
Yeah.
So it's the team.
Explain to me all these parents that are out of control on sidelines then.
Oh, my God.
I can't handle it.
I was going to talk about this, and the problem with the parents on the sideline is they really don't understand the game.
Yep.
They don't understand the commitment, the time that it takes to perform at any level, especially at the high level. I was going to say, you know, we've met a number of people in this industry, and I can only count a couple of people in this industry that I would never have another conversation with. Mm-hmm. But we've met a lot of people, thousands of people in this lacrosse world, but they have a great understanding of the game. They respect the game, right, and what it's benefited them. You know, the game's been very good to me. They've been very good to my family. The expectations for parents are out of control. And the problem is the parents want it more than the kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Coaches are starting to recruit parents.
Mm-hmm.
They see the baby. They talk about kids up on the field. No palms up. You know, have a good attitude. Be a good teammate. So on and so forth. You got to be a good parent. You got to be a good parent. And a lot of these parents, I hate to say it though, never played a high school sport. Doesn't know what it's like to go out and practice every day.
Yep.
To grind it out no matter what the sport is. You know, I remember I looked at this, right? When I was in high school, who did I hang out with? Football team, hockey team, lacrosse team. Went to college. Who did I hang out with? My lacrosse team. Played professional. Went to Australia. Who did I hang out with? Lacrosse players. My best friends are athletes. Mm-hmm. My best friends are high competitive. My best friends are very successful in the corporate world, business world, as coaches, the Dave Descos of the world, the Bruce Janichucks, the Peter Schmitzes, all very, very successful people. And those are the people I surround myself with. You know, and that, so when I became a parent, Johnny wants to go play with Freddie down the street. He's not Dave Desco. He's not Bruce Janichuk. He's got a different perspective on sport, and he has a great expectation for his kid because he never got to that level that he wanted to get to in many cases. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I think one of the conversations I had recently was I like to tout, you know, again, I'm not a large, super athletic man. I'm pretty short, pretty stout, but I worked hard to make my dream was to play college lacrosse. That was my first dream. It's the first dream I can remember having because my school didn't know. No one from my school had ever played college lacrosse. No one from my family had ever played college lacrosse. And I actually used to think that no one in my family played college sports. That's not true. It turns out my grandfather ran track for a school that doesn't exist anymore in Chicago. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that's something.
I found that out this weekend from my uncle.
So you and your uncle will have something in common when Clark shuts the doors.
Clark's never going to shut. Our endowment's sick.
I know.
My parents, actually, they go, they tell me every time, they're like, because most of my family went to Indiana University, and they tried real hard to get me to go. Real hard. And I was like, I have to play college lacrosse. I have to play NCAA lacrosse. I have to. Like, it was all I thought about, all I did. And I was one of the first people from John Stark Regional High School, tiny, tiny two-town school in New Hampshire, to play college lacrosse ever from the school. It was like me and my friend Greg. He played at Norwich. And
I'm a big fan of Greg.
Greg's great.
Greg, I got his poster.
Greg's awesome. There's a picture of us after when we played each other in college. And there's a picture of us after. It's like one of my prized possessions. Like, it's one of my favorite things ever, and I'm trying to look tough, my arms crossed, and he's like, hey, cool. Like, thumbs up, like that. But to Jack's point, though, that's what lacrosse is. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what the spirit of lacrosse is that very thing, is the thing that binds you to, you know, I mean, for lack of a better term, your brothers. When you're playing, this is what I try to impart on all my kids now, too, is whatever your differences are at school or doing other stuff, it doesn't matter when you have the helmet on. The helmet brings you together. The jersey brings you together. That's what I think makes lacrosse different from other sports. I know that other sports have that. I'm not saying they don't, but I know because you don't, there's very few people that can make a profit from lacrosse. So you play it because you love it. Like you still play. You have a friggin' hernia and you still play, right?
Well, I'm not playing right now. I played well over.
You played last year.
Into my, I did play last year. You're right. I did.
Yeah.
I did. And then I got cross-checked across the neck at the end of the game. And I said, well, I got to give it up for a little longer.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's interesting. We had a chance to meet up at Lake Placid. and you talk about the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Yeah.
For young, old, male, female. Mm-hmm. Just wonderful experience for anybody that's never been to Lake Placid, coach, player, mom, dad, young kid. I used to bring my kids up there when they were young, and we had a wonderful experience. Obviously, Lake Placid, where they won the gold medal team in the 80s, hockey team. But
do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in miracles? Yeah. But the Lavelle family, Kevin Lavelle and George Lavelle created the tournament. I think it's over 25 years now. But it's become like the shrine or the golden ticket to lacrosse. You know, I mean, all the teams respect each other on the field. They play high. They play hard. They're very competitive. No nonsense. Good officiating. Very well run. They honor a number of people who were successful on the field. They honor people who were great ambassadors of the game over time and even the tournament. They do a really, really nice job. And but we had some laughs, and I don't know if you want to say anything about the Lake Placid tournament, but if you've never been, you've got to go.
It's my 14th year this year.
Wow.
And I remember my first year, and I can't tell the story of that on the podcast, but a story I can tell.
We're not rolling now, so go ahead.
We aren't?
No, I promise.
The button's red, Seth.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're rolling.
Nice try. Good try. Great producer trick, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know.
Really nice.
I've learned a few.
Really nice. I will tell a Blake Plaza's story. Jack brought his team up to play in the open division this year. They did pretty well. I think lost in the semis.
Yes.
But I watched them play. It was phenomenal. So it was a team all made up from players that played on his club team. Your two sons were on the team. And they got a house in Saranac Lake, which I think is the secret to Placid, is go to Saranac Lake. Because Placid is wild. There's just too much going on.
Yeah.
Like, if you're younger, go to Placid. If you're a little older, maybe, like, check out Saranac Lake. It's a little quieter, a little nicer, a little more walky, a little more fun downtown. He got a house for all the guys to stay in, and they had a coach. You were there, and your girlfriend was there, and I was like, all right, well, this year I brought my girlfriend up, and I was like, all right, are you ready to meet Jack? And she's like, I cannot wait to meet Jack, because she listens to the podcast. She doesn't listen for lacrosse stuff. She just listens to hear us bust on each other. It's like her favorite thing. So she meets Jack. We get there. They're grilling up dogs and burgers. Dudes are walking around with their shirts off. She's like, what is this? I'm like, this is lacrosse. So we're walking up the stairs, and you know, Jack's greeting us and like saying hi, and it was very quick. And then we sat down, and we had a burger or two, Jack's girlfriend's there, Jen. See, I remembered her name, yep. And that's important for the rest of the story,
okay.
Because we're sitting there, and Jack looks at me, and he looks at Jen, he looks at my girlfriend whose name is Danielle, and he looks at her, and he goes, so and I see him do something at the corner of his mouth, and he points to her because you forgot her name, but you met her really quickly. Like, yeah. I, it's totally fine. But in terms of our like banter, it was great. And you're like, so Natalie, I'm like, nope, nope. I'm just sitting there and I go, nope, try again. And she, you look at her, you're like this, palms up. You looked at your girlfriend, palms up. It was hilarious. And she, now like she and I have the inside joke that like, if she ever says or does something out of character, I'm like, Natalie, that's enough. Natalie, relax.
Well, my girlfriend, Jen, didn't know her name either. And right, so Jen started giving me a hard time because I called her Natalie. I said, well, at least I tried to call her something. You didn't try and call her anything.
You made the effort.
I made the effort. I was wrong.
You didn't do one of those couples things where you go, hi, my name is Steve. And the other person's supposed to say, oh, hi, I'm Natalie.
No. I mean, it was her name is Danielle. Just for the record, I want to put it out there.
And Natalie.
It's Natalie from now on.
Yeah, Natalie is Italian. Wonderful young lady.
Yeah.
Wonderful young lady.
What did you say to me when you met her? In front of everyone?
You married up.
Outkicked my coverage, I think was the actual phrase.
I know the feeling. I've done the same.
He's not wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it was said more than once. which was unnecessary, but I understand. But listen, that's what Placid's all about. I love going up there. I was able to craft some stories for here up there. This year had way less New England kids than usual. It was very strange in terms of the Scholastic. Usually there's like a ton of guys, but it's yeah, I mean, we're going to try and have some guests on that are Placid guys for sure, because it means a lot to, I'm sure it means a lot to you. It definitely means a lot to me. And I think it means a lot to the lacrosse community. I think that's the great thing about it.
It certainly does. And it's an opportunity for everybody to get together. I mean, you know, I saw Jerry Byrne up there, the Harvard coach, John Tillman plays, Lars Tiffany plays, a lot of Division I coaches participate in the tournament. It's a great opportunity to catch up with people outside of what we do, yeah. Right?
Yeah, like, I actually saw Casey Powell rupture his Achilles right in front of me. That was painful. Yikes. That was tough. He went down. His brother played, Ryan Powell. It's just a great experience. I wanted to – let me ask you this.
Okay.
Who's your favorite guest that we've had? I think I know, but who is your favorite guest that we've had on?
I hate to say this to blow any more smoke up the Piatelli family, but I loved having Chris Piatelli here.
Really?
I really did. Chris was just, and he met us out in the field too when we did that coaches roundup.
Yes.
I really enjoyed having Chris here. He was a lot of fun. I mean, we've had a lot of great guests. Vanna.
Yeah. Vanna's great.
Who was here. He was terrific as well. Coach Gould from Roger Williams. Chris is fun. Chris is funny.
He's a Piatelli.
He's a paisano.
The Italians, man. I'm sorry.
That was the worst Jewish attempt ever to say paisan.
My favorite thing is having like no culture. Like I come from like the most milquetoast, like if we were any whiter, we'd be clear family. no culture whatsoever. And then talking to Jack and especially my girlfriend, who's very Italian, as Jack said, the influence. I'm just blown away by it. It's really cool. And that's the other thing about lacrosse. I think lacrosse needs more cultures coming into it to experience it, 'cause it's such a great sport. Like I wish there was more, you know, the international game. We've talked about this when Vanna was on too. It needs more, but it's like, listen, if I'm going to throw a criticism and have a hot take, because it's a podcast, so sure. It's time for hot takes. The international game is like really far behind in how they develop and present the game. And it needs, if you really want to have your mission of making the game across the world, like you need to do a better job, because it's really poor. The U21 tournament in particular, I wanted to cover it, couldn't do it. It's in Ireland. It's not time difference. It's just like availability. It's just straight up like they like only gave it to certain people and certain places just didn't respond to things. It wasn't for a lack of trying. I think, you know, Brogdon Cup's going to be a good test of that when that happens in the fall too. But I just think the international game is they want to tout how far ahead they are. You're not. And I wish like, and I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it because it's true.
Well, what it's done is given American players an opportunity to play for their national team.
Right.
Right. And it's not building the game.
That doesn't develop anything.
Internationally. It's a very difficult and long process.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of lacrosse in Europe, it's a tiny little pimp on the radar.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Italy, have an opportunity to work with some players over there, and, you know, soccer is just king. And then you've got Australian rules football, and you can go on and on and on. Yeah. And it's going to be very, very difficult to get players to participate in lacrosse. You need money. You need coaches.
Right.
You need more Brian Vaughn is what you need.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I like to say to players, because we recruit, you know, like a lot is made of high school, like recruiting and other high schools recruiting other people that are like, you know, the Catholic schools and the prep schools, everyone's mad about it. But we recruit internally in our school from other teams at Hopkinton. And I'm like, just tell them, that it's fun, and no one that's ever actually played lacrosse has disliked it. Because it's true.
Yeah.
If you've played it and you tried it and you put in the work to get your baseline skills, do you know a lot of people that are like, oh, I hated that? I know tons of people that play, I hate soccer. Soccer's stupid. I hate basketball. Basketball's dumb. I don't know anyone that has played or watched high-level lacrosse or even medium-level lacrosse that has been like, that's dumb.
Now, as the lacrosse novice here, watching it on TV, I just think it's a blast. I really do.
Because the stuff you're seeing on TV is high-level college, high-level pro. Yep. It's amazing. Like, I wish, like, the one mission, I think, of this podcast that I think we do a good job of carrying out is expanding. And, you know, a lot is made of the grow the game phrase, and it's been co-opted so many times for things. But in reality, it's like, you know, lacrosse is so small. You just have to educate people about it. You have to present it to them as this, like, great thing that, like, Jack and I are lucky enough to have had it, you know, be our life. You know, like that's well, I know how lucky I am to make a living in lacrosse. Trust me. No one knows how lucky they are than me. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely. Right? No question about it. I would never tell you, you know, 45 years later that I'd be sitting here on a podcast talking about, well, number one, talking to you
to
and,
yeah.
and Saf.
Yep.
And I'm honored certainly by that. But yeah, it's been a great ride. And I think that, lacrosse is one of those games, rare games, that I think it's enjoyed playing as much as it is watching.
Yep.
It really is.
Wait till you see a game in person, Seth.
Can't wait.
That's it.
And one thing I'd like to say about the podcast, and when people come up to me and say, oh, you know, love what you do and so on and so forth. And coach said, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on. And I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And, you know, we talked to programs in Maine. We talked to programs all over the country and in Division II, Division III. Everybody knows the Virginias and North Carolinas. Yep. And the Dukes and so on and so forth. But we're exposing, you know, different small universities in this country that offer great academics, great lacrosse programs, have good coaches, great coaches, and in many, many cases, and opportunities for players to look at a number of different schools, because the one thing lacrosse does offer is a great education, an opportunity to play 375 Division III schools, mm-hmm. only 75, I think, Division I schools, 80 Division II. On the women's side, it's about the same. I think the women's Division III is over.
It's over 400.
It's over 400. So you look at the opportunities, and a number of schools, private schools, offer great education. And I tell people that say, oh, you know, I love to listen. I said, well, get your son to daughter to listen, because you'll learn a lot from these coaches. And we just had the new Bates coach on, Dan Anino. How many people know about Dan Anino?
Not many,
right?
Unless you're from here.
But he's a great young coach. He's going to do a fantastic job at Bates. So it also gives people an opportunity to get to know what Dan is all about, what his expectations are, and what the school offers academically and athletically.
And they're going to hear a lot more from him too. I mean, he was terrific.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the best feedback we get from guests is like, or people that listen is like, I wish I heard more, you know, and we're going to have some repeat guys this year. I think not that because we're running out, but because we have more questions. And I think that's going to be fun. Like I'm looking forward to fall and fall ball and, maybe it might be time to take a break in the winter, but like, you know what I mean? Like lacrosse became 24 hours a day, right?
What people don't understand either is, all the Ivies are back at school right now. They're already having captain's practices. So they don't get much time off. And, you know, if you're in the NCAA tournament, you know, that summer season's a lot shorter than if it ended before the tournament. So they're back at it. And if they don't keep themselves in shape, and, you know, a lot of these players are doing interns, they're working all summer. So the challenge in the summertime is to stay in shape, right, make a few dollars, gain some experience, so when you got out of school, you might have an opportunity to work. So it's a constant battle, challenge to be a student athlete today, whether you're playing Division I, II, or III.
I think you're definitely not supposed to talk about captain's practices at Ivy League, but everyone knows they happen, so it's fine. You're like, oh yeah. I don't think that's good, but it is good because it's insight. Like that's sometimes we say stuff we're not supposed to say.
Yeah,
that's the most fun part of the podcast is like, hey, this happened or this happened, and I wish we could record when we walk in, and because the first thing Jack and I do is like throw gossip at each other.
That's true. One of the best shows here is the two of you off air.
It's one day you'll hit that record button and get us both fired, bro. It's fine. It's the best part about doing a podcast. But speaking of that, thanks for listening. Saf, thanks for coming on. I think this this is a fun idea. Jack kicked it around, and I'm glad we were able to do it. Maybe we'll do it again. Next time, I think we'll just take questions from the audience. I think that'll be the way to do it.
Good idea.
Right?
Send your questions in.
Yeah, definitely to – what's your email, Steve?
Steve.Safran, S-A-F-R-A-N, at SiemensMedia.com. And Siemens is spelled S-E-A-M-A-N-S, media.com. Steve.Safran at SiemensMedia.com. Please send me your questions. I'll pass them along to the guys.
Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli and our wonderful producer, Steve Safran, I'm Kyle Devitt. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.